Blog Talk Radio.
Adversity is the thing believers have most in common with Christ that is seldom preached from the pulpit. My mom used to tell me not to shy away from difficulties, and one of her favorite sayings was, "Pressure makes diamonds." When John the Revelator was banished to the island of Patmos in Greece more than 2,000 years ago, he took with him the most valuable survival kit he could, the Holy Spirit. When Rome sent John away in the latter years of his life, when he was around 92 years old, he was the last active member of the original 12 disciples teaching and preaching the gospel. He was banished by the Roman government for believing the word of God and for giving the testimony of Jesus Christ as Messiah, Savior, and Lord. Today, adversity, our bond with Jesus Christ on Pathways to Truth. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Pathways to Truth Radio. I'm your host, Nick Danger, on this sunny morning in the Carolinas. Had me scrambling today, but I'm here. Brother Frank, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, bro. Good morning. You're right, man. We got sunny blue skies, man, in the Carolinas, man. Those are the type of days we love, man. You know, the rain is gone. Rain go away.
Yeah, don't even come back some other day. Don't come back.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Yeah, man, this adversity, man. Let's deal with this, man.
Yeah, man, it's been an incredible ride the last couple weeks. Usually, kind of seeing some different things and how it's amazing to me how believers. There's two things I want to start with. I'm going to put believers on the same as my Christians. I'm talking about Christians first.
Yeah.
It is astonishing to me how Christians respond to adversity. It's like they're offended when they have a challenge or a struggle or some hard time or some calamity that comes upon them. It's like, how dare the hard time or the calamity or the difficult thing come upon me. And their reaction from the standpoint of the world perspective, looking at them, gauging their response, because, you know, all week at work it's praise Jesus, I'm highly favored, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as they get a part of their anatomy twisted in the vice grip, all hell breaks loose. And they abandon what they think is faith. I'm going to start there,
yeah.
Brother Frank. I'm going to start there. What they think is faith.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man. One of the things that I was thinking about, that the struggle that the Christians have, man, is they – most of them are so immature, man, but they think they're mature, but they're immature spiritually. They're mature in the world's way of doing things, but when it comes to God's way of doing things, man, and understanding God's way of doing things, they really, really immature in it, man. So they kind of flee the process that God trying to take us through to mature us, and that process is adversity.
Yes.
Adversity, like our title said, adversity is the key element of faith, man. That's what grows us up. But as Christians, man, they flee from adversity, man. Like you said, man, they are offended when adversity comes into their lives, so they wonder, why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And so to give them a nugget right off the bat, as a believer, adversity always, always, always make me hungry.
Yeah.
See, I eat really good during this time in my life. During the time of adversity is the time that I eat the best.
Yes.
Okay. Nick, with adversity, I feel stronger and can face any of life's adversities with renewed courage, which make my life easier.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to get too far ahead of us, man, but the thing that's supposed to mature us is the thing that Christians flee from, Nick.
Yes. Listen, you said it best a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
The adversity is our kinship with Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
This is the underlying theme that believers, Christians, whatever you want to call yourself, you got to get this through your thick skull. If you are not willing to readily accept the hardship, the calamity, the persecution that God himself has orchestrated for your life to shape and mold your character to make you fit to even be considered for acceptance as a citizen of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Woo.
Yes, sir.
Look, that, man, it. Go ahead. I know it's going to poke the bear. Go ahead.
No. Listen, man, adversity, it's like what we're saying, man, that adversity and faith, they go hand in hand with this, man, in Christ. Because they both, what I'm saying is that they both make believers hungry, and I have to eat to have strength to fight the good fight of faith.
Absolutely.
It makes us hungry. And the thing that it makes us hungry for, I'm not talking about hungry as eating some food. I'm talking about hungry as eating God's word. See, God's word is our food. So it makes me hungry to seek after God and to eat up his word so that I can have strength to fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
Because the only fight we have to fight is a good fight of faith. That's the only fight we're supposed to be fighting. We're not fighting the devil. We're fighting faith. But because we don't read, Nick, then we flee away from adversity because we don't really know, like what you said, that in Christ, that's what helps us to gain strength.
Yes. It's the same path. The same path that he took, the Lord God took himself. Jehovah said, I'm not going to consider anything less of you. Look, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking, I can't talk about it right now because we all agree nobody knows who the heavyweight champion of the world is today. Nobody can name him. All right. But when we could name him, let's say, for instance, we knew it was Muhammad Ali. So when Muhammad Ali was champion of the world, everybody on the planet knew that Muhammad Ali was the world champion in boxing. But I don't care what part of the—I don't care where he went on the world, everybody knew who he was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say to you, Brother Frank, I'm training to be champion of the world, but I don't want to fight Muhammad Ali. I don't want to fight George Foreman. I don't want to fight Ken Norton. I don't want to fight Ernie Shavers. I don't want to fight none of them cats, but I want to be world champ.
Yeah,
so you look at me.
Yeah.
You look at me as my boxing coach said, man. Why are we doing this then? Why are you training to be a boxer if you don't want to fight the baddest dude out there? Because he got the belt,
right.
And the only way you can get that belt is to beat him. You got to beat him convincingly now, because you just can't see with the champion. You can't go in there and pity pat. The
mm-hmm.
champion, you got to take him out. Because if it's close, they're going to give him the decision. Right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So now we know that Satan is bouncing around in the ring with his hand up from foot to foot, showing off his belt, and daring the Christians to get in the ring with him. And all of the Christians are walking around in circles outside, don't want to cross over the turnbuckle. They don't want to get in there and go toe-to-toe with Satan. Now, if you miss that, you dead.
Oh, man, yeah, that's
you can see Satan in there dancing. You can see Satan in there dancing with a little red satin robe on. Come on. How dare you get in here, Frank? I'm going to knock you on your...
Hey, Nick, we said a time past, and the dude the size of Prince, man.
Yeah, he about Prince's size. Way about Buck 05. Got arms like olive oil. So we get to one and get in the ring with him. And so and the here's the thing. We got the revelation. What tradition has done has created the tradition of men. I'm talking about versus the tradition of God. The tradition of men had created a spirit of. Look, man, I'm looking at defilement differently now, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir.
This week I'm looking at defilement differently because what defilement does, it creates an inner deterioration of the faith that God had deposited in each belief. Okay, over a period of time, it's like a cancer that eats away at the faith, destroys it, contaminates it, okay? But what comes out of the man, okay, what comes out of the man is what's supposed to come out of the man is faith. Y'all got to see this. What's supposed to come out of the man is faith, but since that has been deteriorated and destroyed, what comes out of the man is defilement. The defilement is the deterioration of faith, which translates into fear.
Yeah.
So over a period of time, the faith seed has been mitigated and destroyed and as I said, deteriorated. And what comes out of the man, listen, fear is defilement.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Go ahead.
See, because Brother Nick, man, people are losing the battlefield of the mind because they don't eat God's word enough, man.
Yeah.
See, okay. That's why they're walking in fear. And with that fear, they're decaying, man.
Yeah.
So, see, here's a mystery, okay, in the kingdom of heaven. Here's the mystery. If you can apply this to your life and you can understand what I'm getting ready to say, you might have a fighting chance at becoming a believer. All right. Nick, Pathway to Truth Nation, what I'm getting ready to say is it's really, really deep. And this is it. The battle belongs to God and not you.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Adversity is me, Franklin Cunningham, believing that God will fight my battles and I will allow him to do it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, look, the fight is me stepping back and allowing the Holy Spirit to fight my battles.
Mm-hmm.
See, most people, especially Christians, they want to fight the battles themselves because they think they can do it.
Yeah.
So they don't, listen, the adversity part is I'm stepping back and not doing nothing, and I'm allowing God to do it. See, that's the fight, Nick.
Yes.
That's the fight of faith that I got to have. I got to have enough fight. I got to have enough fight and faith in me to step back and believe God's going to do it.
That's it right there. Yes, sir.
The problem is Christians think they have to do it. So they don't step back and allow God, and God just sit there and watch you decay and fall into fear and do all this foolishness for years on top of years.
That's it.
Listen, man, it takes faith for me to allow the Lord to fight my battles. I mean,
yes.
I had to eat a whole lot of the bread of life and chew the cud up and really good in order to rightly divide the word of truth and trust God to fight my battle. See, now, when I was trying to think about how God continually tell me, Frank, just chill down, man. Just step back a little bit. I got this. See, God is the God to say, man, just chill out, man. I'll handle it for you. I got this. But because we are not meditating and we don't listen to God, we think that we have to do it.
Yep.
Nick, the bigger the challenge, the adversity, the more of the word I ate. Because the hungrier I became until I was fulfilled with the faith. But the faith that I'm talking about is the faith for me to step back and let God do it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
That's it right there.
Let me give an example right quick.
You don't really need to give any more examples. Look, if they need any more help than that, I don't know what else needs to be said. Go ahead.
See, because this rolls really, really, really true with parents and their kids. See, I had to learn this a long time ago to allow God to be God in my life and my kids' life and to trust God to be able to handle my kids. So I had to step back. It's a fight for a parent to step back and allow God to handle their kids. See, they think they got to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a little kid get in trouble, you don't run to help them. You got to step back and see what happens.
Yes.
Look, bro, it's a fight to do that. Listen, man. Listen, just about every Christian I have failed with that.
Yes.
Oh.
Man, that's what I said right there. That's it right there. I can't get off of this defilement. Let me get back to that. I just got one more thing to say and then we can move on. Okay. So listen, in the Gospel of Mark, he captures the gravity of how base the tradition of men has been and how deep this defilement is buried in the recesses of the human heart. Okay, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just going to give you the scripture to read. Go to Mark chapter 7. Just write this down, folks. Read Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 22. Mark 7, 1 through 22. All right. I'm not going to read it. Y'all read it. So what that transitions into is the stronghold, that adversity, or I should say fear, has on a Christian, Brother Frank. This is what you're talking about. Our inability, because the kids get mixed signals from us. That we don't communicate effectively. We're not consistent in our behavior. They really don't know what to do, to be honest with you.
That's why they're
falling away from the faith, because the parents and the grandparents are hypocrites.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What adversity has, they said, well, you sit there, you go to church, and you do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you do that, and you're in the Bible all the time. Okay, you are the first one cussing somebody out to the top of your lungs. You'd have been written up 6 times at work for insubordination. You're the one that keeps stuff going in the lunchroom. You're the one that nobody want to sit with. Oh, man, here comes Sister Ethel. Man, let's move to the other side. They want to sit on the other side of the lunchroom. Or they'll go sit in their car to avoid you.
Yeah.
Don't nobody call you to come play Bid West. Don't nobody want to go to the movies with you. Don't nobody want to do nothing with you. But it's everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go a little deeper.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the vanity, this is vanity. At its highest point, because the average Christian, number one, he doesn't know who Jesus is. He has never, number two, he has never had an intimate relationship or conversation with him. Number three, he does not know his word. He's biblically illiterate. And number four, he does not know how to apply his word to their lives. Those are four biggies right there.
Yes, sir.
So when trouble comes, and he said he promises you, it is his intent. It's premeditated that he is sending hardship your way. He said, listen, don't get it twisted. I'm going to send you a test on numerous occasions.
Sir.
Brother Frank, here's the key right here. Y'all don't miss this. It is not the devil. Oh, my goodness. I just messed up a whole bunch of preaching for the day.
You just messed up a whole bunch.
It's not the devil. The devil don't have nothing to do with Jesus and his kids.
No.
Brother Frank, did you hear what I just said? I said the devil. Listen, the devil has nothing to do. Listen, I don't know about you, but the devil don't have nothing to do with nothing. What's going on in my life?
Nothing.
It's just me and Christ Jesus, me and the Holy Spirit. If I step off board, it's because I jacked up. And the devil ain't standing on my right shoulder telling me to go do this and go do that. It's me. Go ahead.
Man, that is so true. See, what the Christians need to know from the believers is that, see, we are afraid of Christ, not afraid of the devil.
Right. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Brother Frank.
Man.
We can wrap it up right there.
It's going to take them a minute, man, to catch that.
Yeah. Listen, man,
you cannot walk by faith without adversity.
Impossible.
Listen, man, they say to us, on Christ, the solid rock I stand.
Yeah.
But, man, listen, if that's the case, adversity is the key element. That's the key element of our faith, man. It takes faith to stand and allow the word of God to do the work.
Yes.
This is why, I said it before, this is why most parents fail with moving their kids into self-sufficiency. See, Christ will help you to be able to move your kids into self-sufficiency. Man, Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. So I had to realize, once I meditated on that, I realized that the credit system is not a heavenly system. It's a worldly system. Christ's system is not of this world. When you trust in him, you can't trust in the credit system and trust in the kingdom way of doing things, what I'm trying to say. Okay. You have to be able to, in your life, and adversity take you through this, you have to be able to work the system and not let the system work you.
Right.
So you have to always be in a position where you're not indebted. Because indebtedness brings all kinds of foolishness to your life and your children's lives. Listen, man, I've learned this right here. Young people who mess around and have a baby at a young age immediately throws a young person into poverty.
Say that again.
And when you're in poverty, you're going to have a poverty mindset, and a poverty mindset is a beggar's mentality.
Yes.
So our kids do not realize that at a young age, when you have a child, one or two or three, man, you stay in a poverty state of mind for an extended period of time, man.
Yeah.
So with that adversity, Satan has his free reign, Nick, about this fear thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Man, he will keep you in fear with that. It takes faith to have God as your source instead of mammon. See what happened to this right here, Nick. When the kids have young kids like that and they're thrown into a poverty mentality, Satan brings fear on them. So the first thing that the parents and the kids think that they can do is run to church.
Mm.
Bruh, they run into the church for help, man, and peace instead of running to God. Ah.
That's good. That's good right there.
Oh, man.
Brother, Halfway to Truth Nation, I want to let y'all know we got a ton of people in queue, and I can't see all of the numbers. I was just scrolling down. I see a few people want to call in. One or two had dropped off. Some numbers I did not recognize. Generally, what we do in the morning, Frank, I'm going to just take a quick 30 seconds, just a little housekeeping right here. We generally lay the foundation, and then we kind of give opportunity to ask questions. So I'm going to take a few calls. The two people, if you're still listening, please call back in that had kind of jumped off. That, you know, may not have known. We're not ignoring you. We just kind of get into a rhythm of laying a foundation, and we can, you know, we still got plenty of time for you to call back in. We'd love to have you call back in and see what's in your heart. Brother Frank, I'm going to take a call right now if you don't mind, okay?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Welcome to Pathways to Truth Radio. I got a call from extension 864-554. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Benita Cunningham. I was just calling in to let y'all know that y'all show is really off the chain this morning. And you're talking about believing and having Christ in your life. How can you follow Christ if you don't believe? And if you don't study and know, you don't know what to believe. And
like
a lot of, y'all talking about kids and parents being hypocrites. Yeah, that's true, because you got the set example for your kids and also them to know how to follow what's going on in the world. And put kids they can stay in poverty. First of all, you can't just run to the church, and to make it through life, you gotta believe in God. Because if you don't believe in God, who else can help you through? The church can't really help you through. You got, if you're going there, you got to believe in him, have him installed in your heart.
Yes.
And that way he will walk you through, because if you know his word and you believe in him and you know his word is true, you can't believe in him if you don't know his word. Because his word tells you that he will take care of you. And you can't look for nobody else to take care of you. Believe what God's saying he'll do and trust in it and let it happen. And stop working it out on your own, because you're working out on your own, you're going to mess it up and things going to be worse off than what it is. Parents can't work it out for kids, and kids can't work it out for parents. You got to work it out with the Lord and let him take care of it. So y'all have a good every day.
All right. Thank you, Dale. In case y'all missed that.
No way,
that's called a drive-by. Thank you, Sister Cunningham, waking up the church.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, so look. We got a beautiful picture now, Brother Frank. We created this dynamic now where we cast away all of the traditions of men. We've gotten rid of all the false belief systems. We've targeted the individual and put pressure on that individual, just like Sister Nita said, to force you to Christ Jesus. That's all we do here at Mandate Ministries. We point you to Christ. We ain't never promoted Nick or Frank or nobody else who's been a co-host on this show.
Mm-mm.
Listen, if you don't take nothing else away from Pathways to Truth, you better take away the fact that we're pointing you to Christ Jesus. Okay, you better read the Word, you better study the Word, you better meditate on the Word, and then you better demonstrate and apply the Word to your life. And that takes faith. So we talked about the defilement. We talked about the fact that we're more afraid of Christ than we are of the devil. The devil is my biggest prince was. Okay, I know y'all don't like us talking about Prince, but Prince was a little guy.
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all more upset about Prince dying than Jesus dying.
Oh,
I didn't just say that, did I?
They okay with Jesus dying.
Ain't nobody posting nothing about Jesus dying, but you know, Prince got, you know, flowers and that from all over the world. People posting on Facebook and Instagram and everything else. Oh Lord, rest in peace, Prince. Okay. Not gonna digress.
Yeah.
I made my point. Okay, yeah. So Brother Frank. So we got this group now. Let's talk about Christian non-believers. So Christian non-believers, these are the main ones that are corrupting the faith system. Okay, they are corrupting the faith system, the Christian non-believers. You say, Brother Nick, what in the world is a Christian non-believer? Well, I'm glad you asked. Christian non-believers are a group of individuals who are members of the church, the physical building, the institution built on the traditions of men, but function outside the parameters or guidelines or commandments of the body of Christ, which was established in the tradition of God through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So Christian non-believers say they love God and follow God, but they do not believe God or his word. Remember,
yeah,
I talked about the people that raise hell during the week, Brother Frank? These are the Christian non-believers.
Yeah.
And carry all their baggage to church on Sunday morning, and they dump their baggage at what they think is the altar, like a payload of dirt, and then they scurry out the door with an empty cargo, like there was a truck, right? They fill that cargo up again during the week with a bunch of lies and violations of God's word. So these Christian non-believers are the ones that are contaminating the Christians who are young in the faith, who are aspiring towards being believers. They're working towards building up their faith. They're working towards studying and aligning themselves in their lives with God's word. And lastly, Brother Frank, they're working on how to apply God's word to their life to make it real for them. This is the people day by day where the devil gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, till he totally disappears. He becomes a non-entity. So the Christian non-believers, Brother Frank, are jacking up the whole process. Now, these Christian non-believers are also your pastors and many of your bishops and your apostles and your overseers. They are the hirelings that don't care for the sheep but only care for themselves. Go ahead, Brother Frank.
Wow. Man, you just summed up all them folks that Aunt Nita was talking about. you just summed up them Christian non-believers, man. The ones that gets on my nerve those apostles, prophets, and bishops and pastors that, you know, don't want to listen to what some insight of what one of the members have to say.
Yeah.
You know, the members can't say anything to the non-believing pastor, but he's the Christian non-believer. He just got to sit there and be quiet and don't even challenge what he has to say. Them the ones that gets on my nerve. But let me say
that. Oh, yeah.
That's just me. Also, see, with that is one of the reasons why, man, our next generation that the Christian non-believers don't really care about because they so self-centered. They don't think about the next generation and helping them to have a godly relationship and seeking after godliness because they're not even seeking after godliness themselves. So they do not realize that this adversity that we are talking about that we face with our children supposed to help build your faith and your kids' faith in God.
Yes.
This adversity is the training ground for us to strengthen us and to build us and to point us to Christ so we can get in his word and eat his word. But the parents that go through adversity and their kids seeing them, or their children seeing them going through adversity, and they complaining about it instead of seeking God about it, and the kid never see them seeking God about how to handle adversity that's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the children end up handling adversity just like the parents.
Exactly.
The first time somebody get laid off for a month from their job that they've been on for 25, 30 years, they got to run to the soup kitchen line, or they have to run to the church for help. They only been laid off a month. They've been working for 25 years, and they got to run to the church for help to get some food. What kind of example to a kid is that? You mean tell me you've been working 20, 25 years, and you can't even make it a month? That's ridiculous, man. But I learned how to do what most parents fall prey to with the enemy. I had to learn this as one of my first lessons through adversity as far as dealing with my children is that I learned how to not panic every time my daughters were going through adversity in their lives.
Yeah.
Listen, man, dealing with boys, dealing with school, dealing with college, dealing with attitudes, dealing with them getting their driver's license, traveling late at night, whatever it was, brother, I had to learn how to go to sleep in peace every night and allow my faith in God to do the work.
Yep.
Look, man, even if my wife couldn't sleep because she thought my daughters were going through something, she couldn't sleep. Look, I did not let my wife's emotions steal my joy and peace from going to sleep. Okay, look. When your kid is going through something, stop panicking.
Yeah.
Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. The Lord says in his word, See, if we was in his word, we could use his word to comfort us. The Lord used to say to me all the time, man, Frank, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
Look, man, once I say that in my spirit, man, I go on to sleep, man. I'll catch up with my daughters them tomorrow, the next day or something. See, as soon as something happens, bro, as soon as something happens, we think somebody have been in an accident, they dead. They straight go into the worst fearful mode that they could go into.
Yeah.
But man, listen, folks doing it today, Nick, let me say this, man. You know, there are husbands and wives and kids. They text each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, that's their mode of communication, man.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to try to help my wife and my kids to understand that through demonstration that, man, do not let me not answering a text or a phone call that you call me or text me and I don't answer you right away. Don't go into a panic thinking I'm dead.
Yeah.
Listen, Nick. Man, a mother might get off her job if her son don't text her back in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they might drive all the way to the college campus if they don't get the text back the same day.
You better believe it. Now, that would preach right there. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. That is it. That's it. You're right.
You mean to tell me you don't have, look, that's zero faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Look, listen, man, the enemy can straight throw you into a fear mode, and God said in his word, he did not give us a spirit of fear. He straight throws you into a fear mode, and you immediately think about the worst things that can happen immediately just because your kid didn't answer a text or your call.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We create that stuff ourselves. So what I do, Nick, purposely, I do this on purpose. My children text me or my wife texts me, I might not answer, man, or I might wait 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
My wife used to call me all the time. She used to get mad because she'd say, I can't depend on you, man. I call you, and I'm like, Nick, I haven't had an emergency yet.
You can't see me. I got my hand raised because I'm in the same club.
I know, Nick. You're in the same club. Listen, man.
I'm in the same club, man. I mean, I'm at work, man. I got a busy. I'm in constant combat all day.
All day. You at work, Nick?
Yeah, I can't.
Nick. If I text you, I know you at work. I know you at work. If I text you, if you don't text me back, Nick, I'm saying, well, that brother, you know, I got to wait for him to hit me up when he get out of work, so I'll be cool with that.
Yeah.
Let your wife text you at work.
Oh, my gosh.
And you don't say anything back to her until you come home that night?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Lord. Yeah. And we know they're listening too. We don't care. We ain't scared of y'all. We know y'all listen.
No, we're not
okay,
scared
so,
of y'all.
So now look at this. I want to build on this because this is we laughing and it's funny, but it's the truth. Y'all know it's the truth. Okay, look.
It's adversity.
At the end of the day, it is also the individual's responsibility to look at whatever the situation is. And then be able to make an assessment based upon what God's word told you. Okay, look, I'm going to slow down. What did God's word say to me about death? What does God's word say to me about calamity or obstacles or hardship? What does God's word say about all that stuff? That we have read the complete counsel of his word. And every one of those things, every one of those things that might be perceived as bad comes back to one thing, and that's Christ. No matter what pathway it takes, it always ends up back at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look, if somebody died, if they're a believer, they're good to go. If not, we know what the other side is.
That's right.
He's given us the promise of divine health. It's right in the book. Okay, look, if somebody gets diabetes, it's obviously because they have deviated from his plan of health.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing per se, but, hey, look, if you got diabetes, you shouldn't be going to Krispy Kreme getting two stacks of donuts, even though one box is free. Can't blame that on the devil. You want to sit there and gnaw on them pig knuckles all day and get the gristle out and then pick the teeth out with your hoof, with his hoofs, you can't get mad at God for that. You weigh 380 and you're still eating Wendy's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay. So as we're framing our reaction to adversity, let's think about what God's word says. And then let's think about how our own insecurities, our inability to read, study, and meditate on God's word has impacted our ability to manage adversity. Managing adversity is simply applying God's word to whatever situation arises. If you do that effectively, you sleep like Brother Frank.
That's right.
If you don't, then you become the mad texter. Group text and blowing up everybody's phone no matter what and say, oh my God, you know, I just got a pink slip, oh my God, you know, I just, whatever.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense to somebody.
Man, bruh, listen, man. While we're on our adversity soapbox, man, I'm gonna pass one more thing about these children, man, because this is on my heart. When my working daughters have an accident in their car, listen, bruh, they have to pay for the damages. Listen, man. Listen. And them paying for the damages is coming out of their pocket. They're not coming out of my pocket. Okay. Listen. This is another thing. We own these cars. So, because I own my cars, I do not carry comprehensive insurance, auto insurance, on my cars that I own. Listen, I am not going to be giving Progressive Insurance, Travelers Insurance, free money.
Right.
Listen, if you have this car, I tell my daughter, you driving this car and you ding this car up, you paying for it. Hey, bruh, this is a valuable lesson. This is a valuable, valuable lesson for kids who mess up some people's cars, man.
Yeah.
Listen, man, listen, it only took a couple of times for my daughters to ding up a car and had to pay out of their pocket for them to drive careful.
Yeah.
But look, man. Christians, they run and fix their kids' cars, man, right away. For them and put them right back on the road for them to ding it up again.
Mm-hmm.
So any scratches, dent, ding, flat tires, crack windshield, oil changes, whatever, you name it. My working daughters, man, I'm not paying for that stuff now. Look, man, you better get right if you're a parent paying for your kids' stuff, man. What kind of dependence on Christ are you believing in, trusting God by faith, by covering for them all the time? See, carnal security, the Word of God says, carnal security and false hope is, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. The Word of God is saying that. Who's saying that in their heart? This is a person with a carnal mindset. In Christ, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Christ said that the saints of God are known in their adversities, bruh. He said, because in my adversity, I get hungry for God's help, and when I get hungry for God's, my Father's help, I feast on his word. See, the first thing that we do when we go through adversity, we don't run to God's word. We don't run to Christ. We try to figure out the world's way of doing things on how to fix it. So what God's saying, now, Frank, you're supposed to be rejoicing because of the promises of his mercy, his divine compassion for my soul. It is how the saints are known, and I love that, man, about God. He said that. He has not shut me up into the hands of the enemy. He has set my feet in a large room. See, when I'm being able to defeat adversity by allowing God to do it for me, for him to fight my battles, and I step back and allow him to do it, see, I got to step back and allow my daughters to do it. I'm only taking the position of a father. So when I step back and don't cover for my kids, then allow God to do it, then the Holy Spirit is teaching them. I'm not teaching them.
Right. That's it. And that's who you want teaching you.
That's it. So that by the Holy Spirit teaching them, now they're dealing internally with right and wrong, good and bad, and dealing with their mistakes and dealing with their adversity. They having to internalize all that by the help of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
He said that he'll set my feet in a large room. That means that he's going to, through adversity, he's going to enlarge my territory.
Yes.
See, meaning that he's going to bring it close, make it bigger, so I can see things clearer. See, enlarging my territory is to bring me closer to it, to blow it up, to bring me closer to it so I can see it clearer. So see, by me stepping back and allowing God to do what he do in my children's life, I can see clearer how he works now. But I have to have the faith, Nick, to get out of the way. And you only
That's
gain
it,
that by meditating and studying God's word.
Oh my goodness, that's it right there. That's the ultimate benchmark for spiritual maturity, having the faith to get out of the way.
Yes, sir.
I don't have anything else to add to that.
That's it
for me. I said all I had to say. And, you know, we don't stay any longer than we had to, because
that's it.
All right, I've emptied out. I don't know if you got anything else you want to say to wrap it up. You can. If not, we'll see him next time.
We'll see him next time, man.
Okay, folks. I thank you very much for calling in today. Man, we had our queue was slam-packed today. So the adversity message must have been on everybody's mind. And we thank you so much for listening, and we hope that the Holy Spirit gave you something that you can chew on and gnaw on and go back and re-listen to it and seek God's word and understanding for yourself. We hope you have an awesome week in the Lord. Share the Lord Jesus with somebody. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Read God's word. Read it slow. Peace and blessings.